Hi, my name is Steven.
Hi, I'm April.
This is the 3 Pi Squared ABA Business Leaders Podcast, where we discuss topics on how to create and grow an ethical and sustainable ABA practice.
Together, Steven and I owned a 7-figure ABA practice that provided both clinic and in-home services.
3 Pi Squared has helped over 900 ABA practices start up and expand with our comprehensive products and services geared specifically to ABA. Now, let's get to the podcast.
We had several BCBAs who were like, yeah, okay, well, I can't really take time off, right? Like, we had paid time off, but it was like so stressful for them to like make up their time before or after or leave their checks hanging. How do you make it to where like your BCBA level employees can legit take a week off and not have like consequences for it? Because that might also help with the burnout. Hello, everyone. Welcome to ABA Business Leaders by 3 Pi Squared. I'm April.
Steven.
So funny. Oh, today we have with us two of our panel members. We have Jennifer and Mallory. Welcome, guys.
Yay.
Thanks.
All right. So today we are going to play a little game, kind of. We're going to talk about hiring in 2025. And so we're going to try to make it fun. We've talked about hiring a lot, but hiring is a thing that we get a lot of questions about, and hiring is important, and it's an important topic to talk about. But today we're going to kind of like set play a little game. Everyone's heard of the would you rather A or B. And so we're going to do would you rather hiring 2025 edition. Okay, so are you guys ready for the first would you rather?
Sure.
All right. Okay. Would you rather hiring someone with experience or someone that's a good culture fit with your company?
You want to go first, Mallory? You want me to?
I was just going to say, I think Jen wants to go first.
I will tell you culture 100% all day, every day. I can teach somebody. And I don't always know what experience means. Like, what does that even mean when people come in with experience? Culture is a personality trait, I think. I think that we all have different personalities, and you have to want to be in a culture that aligns with, if you don't want drama, if you don't want toxicity, you can't teach that. You just can't. I think if you would have asked me that question a few years ago, I probably would have said experience. I would have flipped it that you can teach the culture. But the longer I do this and the more people I hear, the more I'm like, I'm looking for culture fits all day, every day.
Great. How about you, Mallory?
Yeah, I think I would have to agree, because just like Jen said, what does experience mean? Right. It's just a number of how many years you've been in the field. But the reality is we all bring our different talents to the table, right? We all bring different things. We all have specialties in the field. We all have things that interest, were more interesting to us as we were studying to become BCBAs. And sometimes we took some of those things and ran with them. And so we have a specialty in the field. And then, like you said, Jen, yeah, the culture, creating that, it's so important because it can really make or break. It really can make or break, you know, your company, and the success of it.
Absolutely. I'm going to have to agree.
Oh, well, then I'm going to have to disagree.
Jen, it was so funny because I think that in my head, like, you know, almost as much as I say, well, Brene Brown says, you know, a clear is kind. I'm like, our panelist, Jen, says that... in hiring practices, mm-hmm. right? Because there's quite a few things that over our time together, you have said that you have switched, you know, like you used to not hire people who were like, look like job hoppers. And now you're changed on that. You're like, hey, there's probably a reason outside of their control. And so I'm willing to bring them in and see if they're a good fit for us, you know? And then, so it was so funny when you're like culture fit, like I just went back to actually our earlier podcast where you were mentioned.
Yeah.
But what's your opposing view here?
I'm going to like flip here. So in the last one, I totally would have agreed with all of you, but I think just there is a case that could be made for experience, yeah. Just because Maybe there's a demographic that your team does not is not able to provide services to, and you're like, wow, this person can provide services to the 13 to 17 range, and we want to bring this in. Or maybe there are some really hard cases and your team just cannot handle, like maybe some aggressive behavior, property damage, things like this, where,
That's true.
you know what, we're willing to take it that this person's not completely on board with our openness value, right? If they can
They've
help
got some
these
math
kids,
skills and
right? Because
like,
they've got
yeah.
some really, you know, their bedside manner, is not the greatest, but they can really help us provide a better level of services. So
That's fair.
yeah.
That's fair.
I definitely could see that side of it. I think maybe that's more of a fine tuning of what you're hiring for then. You know, like if you're hiring for, you're wanting to get into a certain niche, like you're saying, you want maybe get into more adolescent type services, you know, you probably would forgo. I could see that. I would want experience because that's such a different age group than your early childhood. And you're dealing with way different types of challenging behavior at that point. So I totally respect and can see that from that
How
perspective.
do you, how do you, so let's say we did hire experience, and this could be a totally different podcast, but how do you manage that if the culture isn't there? If it's not
Good
there, the
question.
experience is there. Like, how do you manage that? Like, here, keep them in a separate office so that they don't interact. So
You
they
will talk
don't
to
interact.
no one.
I know, like, there was one time where we hired someone that we were like, no, this, no. But she had so much valuable experience. Now, I will tell you, it didn't go very well and it didn't last very long. But like, she brought a wealth of knowledge that our team just did not have.
We
But
learned from
we
her,
did
and we
learn from
were
her.
able to apply what we learned. And so there, if you know, one of those things you always ask, would I do that again? Probably. It was tricky, but we did. The experience that she brought was valuable, and we learned from that. But it wasn't a good fit, so it didn't stick.
And it also depends on what that trait is bringing. Is it like a toxic trait? Like, is it gossip? No, we can't do that. Like, or is it like, I'm gonna go around and just like two-face everybody, right? Like, that's just something that where I'm gonna say, hey, I'm gonna completely undermine management all the time. Like,
Of
you know,
course.
like that I don't think, no matter what the experience is, that could, your team can handle that, right? And
Right. I
but
mean, nothing is black and white, and
right.
nothing's, you know, like it's not it's extremely, it's not that easy. So, but I mean, I guess that's where you could look at, is it a small thing that can be overlooked? And maybe this person's not really liked, or maybe they don't really seem like they're a very collaborative group member yet. They're doing this thing, but there's no damage being done, right? Like it's not toxic. It's
That's what I was gonna
okay.
say. I agree with that, Stephen. I think what part of the culture is it that you're concerned about? You know, like, what if you have somebody who doesn't really want to do thing, you know, do team stuff type stuff. They want to come and I mean, okay. Usually what happens generally with littler things like that is more of winning somebody over. And they kind of have the right to, I mean, I'm not going to try to inherently change a person's personality, but I agree with you. It's what part of the culture is it that you're trying to preserve? If they're toxic, if they're going to undermine you as management, if they're going to cut your legs out, if they're going to be two-faced, I'm kind of with like, I still would like to learn from the experience, but then maybe there's a exit strategy. You know, we don't know, you know, so.
Or like maybe what you guys were talking about too. Of course, I don't know the person that you hired, but maybe they're in a different role where they're like teaching, right? They're doing the training or they're teaching or something. Like that changes things, right? Their role can change so much. And you know, doesn't necessarily have to change the culture, you know, the dynamic of that. So yeah.
It's just a different position where maybe they're more of like a consultant where they're coming in and, you know, teaching your team members how to do it. So you get the best of both worlds, right? So they're helping this leader on your team facilitate the process without them coming in and damaging the whole team framework, right? So I mean, it's hard to answer that one, right? It just depends. I could see both sides.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, next one. You ready for it?
Maybe.
All right. Okay. So, would you rather, drum roll. I need to look up all the words to this to make sure I get it right. Okay. So, would you rather hire an extra BCBA or a scheduler for your ABA business?
Can I answer this first, Jen?
You go right ahead because I'm going to mull that
So I would say a scheduler, because I kind of did, I did exactly that. I actually hired a BCBA and a scheduler at the same time, and the BCBA only lasted a little bit, and the scheduler has now lasted, has lasted. And the scheduler is like worth her weight in gold. She is amazing. I didn't realize what an undertaking it was when I was doing the scheduling myself until I hired a scheduler, and I was like, oh my gosh, like my days go so much smoother. My staff, they were happier because they weren't having to like double check, my work, to make sure that the schedule was correct. And then of course, like she did scheduling, but then there was other little things that you just don't think as a scheduler that you have to do, letting families know. Yeah, trying to find the subs, a scheduler. Definitely a scheduler. Because I think too, like if I'm not able to manage the schedule already, like hiring another BCBA is just gonna add another whole like caseload, right? Like it's just more to schedule. So like let's get the scheduling nailed down, let's get a good scheduler, and then we can add a BCBA afterwards.
I'm so on the fence. I finally did hire a scheduler back in September because the scheduling itself was becoming too much for a person to have multiple roles. So like originally my office manager was doing the scheduling, but we were growing and with we had some staff members go from an RBT to a BCBA, so caseloads were growing, staff was growing, and I knew at some point I was going to be hiring a scheduler just because of the there's so many nuances that are outside of just the scheduling component. And when we did what I did is I had hired someone last year that I knew was going to move into that role as the company was growing, but I wanted him to be able to know and understand the RBT role and just really get his feet wet in ABA in general and just kind of get an idea of what that looks like on a day-to-day basis so that he could be a better scheduler because he has the perspective of the technicians. And it was one of the best decisions when he moved over to that scheduling position, and he's pretty much worked him completely out of where he's doing 100% scheduling. And I know for my peace of mind, it has made a huge difference because I'm like, I don't have to worry about that because, like you said, it's not just about putting some schedules on a. It's communicating to the staff. It's communicating to parents. It's following up if somebody's running late. It's did you see your schedule? Not just on the staff, but the parents too. I mean, there is a. It is a full-time job. It is a literal full-time job. So I
Question. What
think,
do
like
you
you said.
guys?
Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, sorry. I sorry. I thought I heard a pause in your voice, but a question. Would we have less cancel? Would we have a lower cancellation rate if we had a scheduler?
We did. That is one thing that I can tell you that our cancellation rate has dropped exponentially. I haven't ran the numbers for a while, but because there was somebody there to actually think through and troubleshoot what was going on, the cancellation rate on our end as the company dropped exponentially. I mean, it's almost, I would probably say it's probably more in like the less than 10% at this point.
Just hearing you guys talk just now, it just like clicked to me. I was like, hold on a minute. Is it as easy as hiring a schedule to like, would that pay for itself?
Yeah, again,
Well,
it needs, yeah, I think it pays for itself. I think you have to find the right person though, right? Like
right.
this
Of
is
course, of
like
course.
so many variables involved. Well, this
Right.
person can't because they have this sport on Wednesdays, but they could on Thursday. Like it's just
Yep. Yep.
right? Like there's a lot into it. So, yeah.
I think he's paid for himself because of the rate of cancellations going down.
Yeah.
And just the stress, the time that's not being taken away from everybody else to help
Yep.
brainstorm together. you know.
Yep.
So. All right. So if any entrepreneurs out there are listening and they're in the ABA field, but maybe they want to try something different, maybe start a scheduling company, man.
I mean, there are a couple of scheduling companies out
there's
there.
There's like some software that's like hit or miss, but like I feel like there's some real human people power that need to be behind some of this to at least be able to train AI or software all the nuances of it.
Yeah, so go ahead.
No, sorry. I was just going to say that the thing about some of the software, because I've used several softwares too, and of course, like logistically they work, but the thing about our field that doesn't work is that we also have to pair well, right? And so I feel like we need to be able to like take those softwares and then add like personal profiles for the clients and for, and so then it can like start matching it up with
like
that.
A dating service.
Oh, 100%, 100%. So I agree. My other point too, though, is that I would say that the person that needs to be a scheduler, I guess it really depends too, because I think some people have schedulers that also have HR background, and I think that would be a benefit if they had HR background, because I am definitely more lenient on my my employees. I just am, and if they say they can't make it to work, I don't necessarily, you know, press and stuff. But sometimes when you start to see a pattern, that is hard, right? And that's where we kind of need the HR you know, piece to come in and say like, hey, I noticed you cancel every Monday. What's going on here, right? And yeah, exactly. And so and so then, right, if you have a scheduler that has some of that and they're able to kind of like address that without you having to be part of it as the business owner, or even like the BCBA, you know, that would be super helpful. So I don't know that I saw really any difference, but I am a smaller, you know, smaller company. So I don't think that I really saw much of a difference with cancellations there, but I could see it being that way. But then just in general, right? Consistency for the clients, right? When we have somebody that's looking at the big picture, like the whole company as a whole, all the clients, all the technicians, just the consistency for the clients is going to be, you know, better.
And I agree with the, I think part of the reason the cancellation, it's twofold on the company for the cancellation stopping or going down. One was, again, you had somebody who could troubleshoot and rearrange. But two, like you're saying, Mallory, our scheduler does have that background. He's not an HR, but he's done scheduling. And he's not afraid to tell somebody, no, you need to get into work. You know, he's not afraid to say, whereas like, I think when it's when you're doing it as an owner in the beginning, I was lenient too. I was like, oh, no, I understand, blah, blah, blah. Then secretly I'm, you know, like, oh, what am I going to do? And I'm so stressed out. But then also you get distracted.
Yes.
Right. Like you think you're going to follow up, but then you completely forget about it. And then 2 weeks later, you're like, oh, here's a pattern. And I was meant to say something and I never did. But just having that person, there's no diverted attention. Their whole focus is that schedule. And so, no, but I totally agree with that on that HR side. That's another reason our cancellations have gone down. Well, and also holding the parents accountable. I mean, we talk about parent accountability and taking this serious as a treatment, you know. Okay, well, I'm sorry if you're going to not show up again today. Here's the consequence, you know. And parent cancellations have gone down because of that too. But again, it's somebody who's 100% dedicated to be able to have that bandwidth, and that's all they're focusing on. Because the rest of it just gets, it's too much. It really is. And the more I don't know if it's the older I'm getting or what, but the less I have brain capacity for a lot of things now. So,
well, you know, it's true that like we can't multitask. We all think we can, right, but it's proven that we cannot multitask. So,
you know,
having this very dedicated positions for very specific intentions, right? There's something to that. Now, of course, like, you know, the baby startups, we can't start there. Most of us can't start there, but we can aspire to get to that point when we start to learn, start to figure out what to delegate. And are we going to hire that next BCBA, or are we going to stop it and we're going to hire the scheduler next and then the next step, another BCBA?
Yeah, I would hire the admin scheduler person first, just because, you probably didn't become a BCBA to do scheduling and HR stuff anyway, right? So if you can add set, like I was doing the math, right? Let's say you're paying someone around $20, $25 an hour to do scheduling. I don't know what the rates are, right? But I'm somewhere around there, I assume. They will pay for themselves with 7 more billable hours. Right, like so.
Wow.
If they can pay for themselves, right, with just adding that, and then you have the decrease in stress and the headache of doing that job, because that's a hard job. And like you said, their whole focus, they can manage this now and say, "Hey, Sally's canceled a lot more sessions lately. What's going on there?" Right, and then attention can be provided where a stressed out, burnt out business owner, they just don't have the bandwidth.
Yeah. You got it.
Yeah.
All right, so let's move on to the next question.
Hey, ABA business owners, struggling to navigate the complex world of ABA practice management?
You're not alone. We've been there. And that's why we created the ABA Business Leaders Membership. It's your how-to guide for everything you need to run a successful, ethical ABA practice.
From compliance to culture, from billing to hiring, we've got you covered with in-depth videos and insider advice you'll wish you had years ago.
Absolutely. But guess what? You don't have to figure it out alone. Our ABA Business Leaders membership isn't just a guide, it's your growth accelerator, featuring 34 CEUs to keep you and your team on the cutting edge.
That's right. Plus, you get exclusive access to content you can't find anywhere else. Think webinars, live Q&As, real-life success stories from practices making it happen.
And the community aspect is unbeatable. Imagine being connected to a network of ABA business owners, sharing, learning, and evolving together.
No more second-guessing your business decisions or wondering if there's a better way. With the ABA Business Leaders membership, clarity, confidence, and continuous learning are what you're signing on for.
So, if you're all in on elevating your ABA practice, join us. It's time your business not just survived, but thrived.
Head on over to 3piesquared.com and check out the ABA Business Leaders membership. Let's take your practice to the next level together.
I want to make sure we can get through a few during this time together. Okay. So, would you rather spend more time training new hires or invest in technology to streamline onboarding?
God, I feel like you're like hitting everything that we're just trying to, like, because, you know, AI is coming out so much and there's so many things that are, you know, we're getting ready to do a CE on AI, just an ABA in general. And just like, because I'm really struggling with streamlining things, you know, and that's a really good question. I don't know.
We just had two like business owners. One was a BCBA with an AI. So that's I can't remember the name of her company.
It's what BDS is doing one.
Are you talking about
Amanda? Amanda, yeah. What was the name of her?
Noetic.
Noetic, yes.
Oh.
And then another
Michael
Gao with Alpaca.
Sorry, Michael Alpaca. Yeah.
Yeah. And and both using AI to help BCBAs. My concern about AI, I don't know. Maybe I shouldn't have this concern, but I feel like it's going to make us more stupid. I just, like, BCBA used to be able to do that, but now AI has to tell them to do that. Like, I'm worried about that piece of it. You know what I mean? But at the same time, I would much rather them use a HIPAA-compliant AI system than just go on ChatGPT on their own and use it anyway. So I feel like there is no choice. I think we're going to have to be okay with AI almost as an intimate part of our life now.
I just don't think that we can get away from... I just don't think that we can streamline it like more, you know, in an automated system. I just don't think we can do that because we are dealing with human lives, right? In our field, at least.
You got to check out these AI systems. They are insane.
But is it scary?
Yeah.
But yeah, they've like both that we've talked
just
to.
Just unbelievable.
And we have a third one who just reached out, third company who wants to come on and tell us more about how they do it.
Yep.
I think I would be looking into it if I was still in business. I think I would be cautious, right? And I would make sure I have safeguards. I would make sure maybe I do like trials or, you know, figure out, but I really feel like it helps to automate this process. It doesn't take away the human nature part of it, because you still have to have a clinician there doing the interview, doing the onboarding, doing part of it, like with the clients. But the AI is a safeguard to make sure that they're getting all the things that they're supposed to get, so that like they don't, at the end of the day, you're still hunting down information, or you have like, you don't have everything filled out.
Right? Yeah, I guess my concern about that is we already hear it like, oh, well, my company told me I got to do it that way, right? Now, oh, well, the AI said I got to do it this way, so I don't know what you're, right? Like, right. And that takes the ethics and the clinician out of it, because the AI said it, and I guess they must be right, it's the AI, right? So that's my worry, is that we're like, you're taking off somebody's leg when they need to get the heart transplant, as well, the AI told me, I don't know what you're talking about, right? Like, that's my concern.
Well, this isn't for medical decisions, this is just for onboarding, this is sure. just getting the information.
Yeah. Yeah. All right.
I think what I find
is just getting the paperwork portion so that yes. you can do the things the next
Okay,
steps.
Well, we're building an onboarding process on our website. So, yeah, absolutely. You should definitely invest
in
that.
What I find in our onboarding is no matter how much we have tried to streamline it, something always falling through the cracks. You know, like, oh, we forgot to get this signed, or this was never presented, or even with our checks, everything, our checks and balances, there's still something that's not, seems to just, and it's little things, but those little things to me make a big difference later when you're talking to a team member and they're like, oh, I never knew that. Like, that wasn't. And so like, I'm leery about AI and ABA just for the same reasons you guys, but if we're talking about it from an HR perspective, I'm really trying to learn a little bit more about it, because when they first said AI, I was like, heck no, I am not. Because I've just heard so many horror stories. But for an onboarding process, I mean, I can definitely see the value if you get a real strong onboarding, you know, making sure they have their training, making sure they were logged into all your systems, making the training for one is so important, making sure everything's submitted, their CPR, their, you know, whatever you have, you know, internally that you expect them to turn in, because that causes hiccups later.
Yeah, I mean, just that in itself, the dates
yes.
of when things need to be renewed, right? But then also, it was related to onboarding, like onboarding clients, right? Like, what about their insurance, right? Their insurance cards, or if you're not doing those, you have to do it for onboarding, but there's also ongoing checks for some of these things. Like, so it's going to be ongoing for staff and for clients. That's going to extension of onboarding, right? These things you have to follow up with. So like, what if they change insurances halfway through? Like, that could be super expensive and terrible situation. Yeah. Or like, what if your BCBA didn't renew their license, or, and you don't know until 2 months later, right? So, right. So there are some things like that, that if you do the initial onboarding, then you can have some checks in place to keep up with it. That there again, like our multitasking busy brains might feel like in that moment isn't as important or forget about, and then but there's a fire to put out.
Yeah, it's only sure it's only important when you don't have it, right? Like, that's the problem, right? And then
I think the problem where I wish they could come up with is somebody that, like, I don't know if AI can do this. It's you still need that human person inputting the information, but then you can have the AI follow up on it. Like, you know, I was thinking about like what you said about BCBAs, even keeping track of their CEs for 2 years, you know, so that you can kind of check in and like every quarter or 6 months and say, hey, where are you? You know, your license is going to expire in 18 months and you've done no CEs, you know, you've got 32 to get through, you know, like, I think it would help. And I don't think that that's just beneficial for the employer. I think that's beneficial for everybody, because nobody's sitting there watching when their CPR or their RBT, or unless you're getting that, or you're, unless you're getting those notifications, You know, we're all so busy, you know, so I could see the benefit on that for both parties.
We had spreadsheets. We had old school spreadsheets, and our scheduler was actually the one who kept up with, because we had a scheduler. She also, I mean, I think looking back at that, we probably should have had two admin, like one scheduler and then one insurance. But she also helped with insurance and did scheduling. But she also kept up with all of our spreadsheets to, you know, for people's things, all of the different certifications and trainings and stuff running out, she would send out those reminders to people. But yeah, it's all those little things, right? The little mm-hmm. things that just add up and you're like, oh God, I didn't think about that. Oh, how do I get that done?
Or like every 2 years, you're supposed to do background checks again. You know, if you've got if you have somebody with you for, what about your HIPAA? What about your child abuse? What about your mandated reporting? That's not just one and you're done. I mean, you've got it. And I don't want to be caught not doing background checks because that would hurt my BCBAs. You know, they're taking it on faith that I'm doing that. I mean, they have to get permission, but they're not thinking about that. I mean, who's thinking about that, you know? So, yeah, I see the value of that for sure. Still scared to delve into it. I'm not going to lie.
If you've ever had an AI fail, you would be a little bit more... a little bit more conscious, because I did just with simple notes, and AI's attitude in some of the word dumping that I did for just simple notes for a meeting failed me. Yep. Failed me royally. And I was like,
100%. Oh, yep.
Okay, well, we're not doing that again, or I'm gonna have to double check, because I mean, I know that eventually, right, as you continue to put more and more in, it starts to learn more about you. So whatever I had put in prior apparently learned more about me, or maybe didn't know enough about me, and I was a little too sassy, and so it failed me.
That is so funny. Yeah, I mean, AI is definitely a tool. It's a tool. It's not, you have to still edit, you still have to still review it. Sometimes I feel like I go over, if I do use AI for like a tool to come up with something, I end up spending even more time like combing back through it, because I'm so worried that like there's like one little piece that might be off.
Yeah.
And you do have to train it, and you do have to know what prompts and things like that. But I think like, and I know like AI is such the topic right now, but I think like just the general would you rather was like would be I lost it.
Like
just making like the technology to actually streamline it. I can't say that word either, Jen. Versus putting that time. So would you rather put that time into training your staff, or would you rather put that time in to making sure you have all those checks for actual onboarding of your staff?
Yeah, maybe I think I would go with, I wish I had the time to do it. I would rather not have to use AI if I didn't have to.
Well, yeah, I mean, this isn't AI. I mean? This is just...
Oh, just have streamlined.
This is just system. Invest in technology to streamline onboarding.
Gotcha.
Versus spending that time training a new person that's coming in, right?
So
you're getting to train them on all the clinical stuff and the very specific to your clinic stuff. And then... like some technology is taking over, making sure you got the HIPAA training, they got like all the HR stuff of it.
Then I think because that's more what we're going for. Yeah, that's what I'm building.
That's what I was trying to build up to, sir.
Because like the biggest problem I have with AI, and I think you kind of hit on this, Mallory, is like it is super confident and it's also very wrong, right? Like.
Yeah.
It is so confident that it's completely wrong.
Well, remember it told us that we were looking for a restaurant, and it was like, yes, the best fish is at this restaurant, and we're like, okay. And then we told his dad, and his dad's like, yeah, that restaurant hasn't been there in like 15 years.
Yeah.
and so then Steven goes back and he was like, this restaurant, like, oh, I heard this restaurant closed, and ChatGPT's like, oh yeah, you're right, it did. How about trying this restaurant down the street instead? Yeah. So like you can't like, so we've said this numerous times, because it is scary that people are actually using. Now, some of these like systems like Alpaca and Noetic, they are doing the hard work to train these AI models. I mean, it's still new, it's still new, but in the very specific way that they're doing it. But that's why it concerns me if you're just pulling up ChatGPT, helping you write a treatment plan or helping you do
Yeah,
whatever.
please don't
Like,
do
please
that.
don't do that because these are dumb systems. They haven't been trained. They don't have all of the safeguards in place. Don't do your onboarding through a ChatGPT checklist. Please, no.
No.
ChatGPT might not know the nuances of what you need in your city, in your county, in your state. So
And like ChatGPT will put in filler things with, again, with high confidence. Like it will just randomly come up with birth dates, or it'll randomly put in middle names. Like this is what it does, right? And are you sure that was right? Did I have that information? Oh yeah, it was
So
totally
for
that.
our podcast, we had a guest come on, and I made a like took their information, and I wanted a quicker introduction to the person versus their entire bio on their website, and it completely did me wrong. It completely did me wrong. I was so embarrassed, and thankfully, it was my first panel thing at the conference, and so then I had to go back and like, oh my goodness, I'm so sorry. Let me re like, can you please introduce yourself? Because I could tell by their face that I was hilarious. So anyway, so yes, disclaimer: be very wary, be very careful about AI, and educate yourself.
Yes.
All right, so we have just a few minutes
Okay.
left, and I do want to see if we can hit one more really quick. So. Would you rather unlimited paid time off? So, would you rather offer staff unlimited paid time off but struggle to cover cases, or have a strict PTO policy with better client coverage?
Well, I'll just say this real quick, that my sister has unlimited PTO, and it's the running joke in our family because she is, works extremely hard, and we'll say like, hey, can you maybe take the day off? I was like, and we'll tease her. Well, you do have, unlimited PTO. Unlimited PTO that she never uses.
Yeah.
She never uses it. And I'm gonna say that me, myself as a BCBA, like having unlimited PTO wouldn't really mean a lot to me. Because I, even when I'm on vacation, sometimes, I work, and that's not a good, that's not a good thing. I'm not like
Yeah.
boasting about that at all. It's just that in our field, because we work with humans, it's really hard to shut off and turn on, like when it's important, because you are so de dedicated to these families. So, yeah, no, so it was a running joke. So I don't know about offering unlimited PTO. Also, because I think that maybe some would take advantage of it, right? Some might take advantage of it. I don't really know how you could even offer that. What does that look like? So I think I'd go with the other. I think I'd go
I
with the
think
other.
cynically, like I think that that's the exact reason why they do it, right? So they can,
I think it's a trick.
yes, so they can see like, oh, well, this guy's not taking any time off, but we have unlimited. So
And
like, and
even
now
they
they're in
have it. It's like a
competition,
perk,
right?
right?
Right? Now they're in competition to see who can use the least amount of paid time off. It's I feel like somebody was really smart and they said, hey, I get an idea. We spend way too much time on time off. How about we pretend we're going to give everybody way more time off, but it's actually going to work the opposite way. Like that's my feeling on that cynically. I don't know that unlimited. And then, hey, if somebody actually uses it, we'll terminate that person. You know what I mean? Like,
Well,
but.
that's yeah. It might be because I have asked her, like, what would they say if you said, hey, I want to take a month off? And I mean, she is confident in saying they would say I could. They
All
way I
right,
would
let's
do it.
try it.
But I'm like, but you need to try it. But she never would. Why? Because she would
Yeah.
come back to a mess.
Yes.
Right?
I think your higher performing people are going to be less likely to take advantage of something like that. Like,
Yes.
because just like you said, nobody stops, like, and we should. I've actually heard of people who have unlimited paid time off, but there's parameters around it still. Like
Right.
you can't take a month off. You can only take so many weeks off, and you have to do it like. It sounds good, but there's a lot of caveats you need to read the fine print on some, and that's, I don't know if that's necessarily every organization, but the people that I know who have that, they don't ever hardly use it at all anyway, just because they're like, I mean, I don't want to come home. I don't want to come back to such a, I mean, they take the time off, but it's not abused. I think I I just think it, for me personally, it works better for us to just have this set and people just know what parameters they're working. I also think unlimited time off kind of lends itself to, well, am I going to get in trouble if I actually use this? You know, like there's not that sort of guardrail for them. But I'm not a fan. I would not be a fan at this stage.
I also think that, you know, like, because the opposite, right? What was the exact wording, April, is like having less case coverage. Was that the offer? Was that the?
Yeah. So would you rather offer staff unlimited paid time off, but struggle to cover those cases, right? Because that's the other thing. When you're when a BCBA, if they take off like a month, then you just have to supervise the techs and the cases.
Yeah, you have to supervise the
cases. Or have a strict PTO policy with better client coverage. So versus like, okay, maybe you don't have unlimited PTO, but you do offer PTO. But like Jennifer was saying before, like you have to ask with X amount of time in advance. You could only take X amount of consecutive days off, or, you know, like I know a lot of bigger companies, like if you ask for vacation time and there's already X amount of people that have asked for that same week, then the answer to you is no, you can't take vacation that week. So, and that was something that we dealt with because I was like, sure. And then like we would land on a few weeks here and there where we'd be like, oh, hold on.
Short staffed.
I don't have any BCBAs right now, or I only have one, you know? And I was like, oh, can't do that again.
The internet says studies have shown that you take less time off with unlimited than you do when you have a set amount.
So, that's hilarious. Because I was just thinking in my own head, I'm like, well, if you have a set amount, but then you also are a reasonable employer and they come to you and say, hey, I want to take X, you know, whatever time off, I would probably say yes, right? I mean, with my RBTs, my thing is, right, is like, well, you can take time off as long as it's the hours are made up. So you either make them up ahead of time or you make them up within reason again, right? Like a week is about the most I would, you know, be comfortable with. I think I have done 2 weeks before, but that was with the, you still have to do the hours before you leave, or schedule the hours when you get back, right? But that's not always doable either with the clients, because if the client has a 3-hour session, even adding an extra hour is like, that's a lot for the client. So I'm like, well, you can add an extra 30 minutes, but then you have to be able to plan, right? So that's interesting.
I know our BCBAs did not like, we had several BCBAs who were like, yeah, okay, well, I can't really take time off, right? Like we had paid time off, right? And they could take it. But it was like so stressful for them to like make up their time before or after, or leave their texts hanging, or, you know, and so that was one thing we never quite figured out, but we were hoping to like that. I would love to have like a round table at some point to try to figure that out of like, how do you make it to where like your BCBA level employees can legit take a week off and not have like consequences for it? Because that might also help with the burnout and the, you know, all of that. Steven just found some more information.
So the internet says people with unlimited time off take about 20-30% less time off than regular people. I'm telling, like, I was pretty cynical about that, but like, somebody was like, hey, I bet you this will work. And they're like, I don't know about that. And then let's just try it. And then they were like, wow, this really works. And they told their other buddy, and now he's like, okay, let's do it. Right. And, yeah, totally. In the tech industry, it's a big thing, right? On
it really
time
is,
off.
Yeah.
I think it was totally. Yeah.
I have
awful.
To jump off. I'm
yep.
so sorry.
Yeah, we're all done. So thank you guys so much for joining our Would You Rather episode today. And we'll see you again next time.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. Hopefully it was helpful. If you would like to gain access to this entire video and actually our entire library of videos, please join our ABA Business Leaders membership. You can find that at www.3pisquare.com.